We are looking at beautiful clouds and thinking that people don't understand the truth. They're not programmed automatically in their natural life to understand the truth. And so if you reject the truth, or if you're not acquainted with the truth, you are given to error. You're given to believe a mistake. So we are taught in the scripture not to argue with people about this, because if you argue with somebody, they come up with reasons why they're right. So we want to give soft answers, even to the tough questions, because we are loving our enemies, the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ. So we're looking at the tough question of God, and this question deals with, why is Jesus the only way to God? You've heard this, perhaps, where people are saying, oh, you always think you're right. I've always thought that was kind of an odd accusation. Of course I think I'm right. Why would I be telling you something I thought was wrong? You know, I don't say it if I think it's wrong. Of course I'm saying what I think is right. That makes sense. But that's what everybody does. But they are saying, see, they wouldn't say that if I'm saying, mathematically, this is the answer. And they say, well, that's your opinion. Well, it's not my opinion. It's the math. You work it out. That's it. Check it with a calculator. See, they wouldn't say it for that. But they're saying it because it's religion. So let's look at this. Why is Jesus the only way to God? Understand that the reason they're asking that question, the reason they're offended by the fact that we say it's only Jesus, is that they have a presupposition. They are thinking a certain way, and that presupposition goes this way. The natural man, unsaved man, has been taught that all religions have evolved from primitive fears of the unknown. The cavemen huddled around a campfire, and the lightning struck, and they go, ooh, power. Scared. And it turned into religion, see? And I think it's Far Side had a cartoon where two cavemen are riding a log, and they had invented a time log, and they went into the future, you know, and people were looking. Doesn't make any sense. And the whole concept is false. Men didn't evolve, and you know, people have lived in caves. My brother lived in a cave when he was down in Louisiana because he didn't have money to rent a place. Yeah. And he got really upset one time when he came in and all the furniture he'd been collecting, somebody had come in and stole it out of his cave. So he came home. So they think that this is how religion started. Big man meant boom up there in the sky. See, so... So with this assumption, it's considered sheer extreme religious chauvinism. You know chauvinism? My team's better than yours. My mom's potato salad is better than yours. Chauvinism is my side is better. You know, male chauvinism, men are better than women. Chauvinism. This is religious chauvinism to claim your particular religion is the only true religion. Sounds egotistical. But the supposition is that all religions are at best guesses, because nobody knows. So they are all equally useful, but they're all equally apart from rational fact. They're all just guesses and unprovable. So don't make yours bigger than others. But they're missing the point here. So we want to give them a soft answer. Let's look at the soft answer. Our answer to this question must begin with our excitement that the Bible is not the result of Jewish and Christian religious thought, but it's the origin of them. The Bible is the starting place. The Bible began the Jewish religion, and the Bible began the Christian religion. We didn't have a Christian religion that invented the Bible. The other way around. So, the fact is that in the beginning, God. Evolution is stupid. That's not a soft answer, but Christianity says in the beginning, God created. Evolution says in the beginning, nothing created. And did a good job because, look, here we are, you know. Now, what sense does that make, you know? The Big Bang, there was nothing and it exploded and it became everything, creation. So God, who exists outside of time and space, chose to reveal himself to man, his creation, and God's plan of revelation is shown in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. It says this, God, who at sundry times, it means many different times, and in diverse manners, so different places, different times, and in sometimes by dreams, sometimes by other ways, diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. God created. Jesus Christ was the contact to the material universe. He's the one who actually brought things into existence. And so Christ's coming was most of all a revealing of who God is. God is outside of time and space. God is not made with a body like man. He made bodies different from himself. But Christ was willing to be made into a body like man, that he would have the ability to die for us. God can't die. God, if you don't have a body, there's nothing to die. You know, the whole concept of dying is irrelevant. So he revealed, he, at great cost, revealed himself. So, in the past, he spoke through prophets using dreams and visions, and now he has spoken by his Son. We want to ask the question then, if he spoke, what did he say about Jesus? We want to find out not what you think Jesus is, or what I think Jesus is, or what I imagine. We want to find out what God said, what God revealed. What did he reveal about Jesus? So we Christians actually did not invent the claim of Jesus as the only way to God, the only way to heaven. We didn't invent that. We read it. We found it given to us by God. We received that information by the historical record of what Jesus said. Is Jesus the only way to heaven? Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus conveyed the message of God the Father. He was repeating that message. John 12:50. And I know that his commandments is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. You catch what he's saying? He says, what? My message to you is not so much my message that I came up with while I was meditating on a leaf one day. This is the message that God the Father gave me to tell you. And Jesus claimed that he was the exclusive way to reach the Father. He was talking to his disciple Thomas, John 14, 5-7. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, listen to this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him, inasmuch as he can't be seen, but you have seen him as you've seen me. So, what did Jesus say here? There is only one way, one truth, one life. It is me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is absolutely singular. This is absolutely the only possible way to be okay with God. In John 8:24, Jesus says, I said therefore unto you, he said to the Christ rejecting Pharisees, that you shall die in your sins. They thought they were holy and above sin. He was saying, think again. For if you believe not that I am he, who? God. Ye shall die in your sins. You catch that? Unless. See? For if you believe not that I am he, there has to be that belief that he is God. We're being broken into. And if there's any question left, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Aha. We've discovered the burger. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. People say, you're narrow-minded. That's right. Our mind is as narrow as the number one. Just a narrow one. One way, one person. One way, one life, one truth, you see. So, this is not a matter of opinion here. This is a matter of looking it up and seeing what God said and what Jesus claimed. We must conclude that the Bible has revealed the absolute uniqueness, the one-of-a-kindness of Christ as the way to God. Why do we say he's the only way? Because that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. But let's go a little further. Let's pursue the claim. Let's ask, but why? It may be asked, why did God make Christ the only way? Why didn't he just let people work it out on their own, come up with a plan? You'd say, well, that's good enough. No, God himself, think of this, God himself had no other way. Don't be confused about this. There was only one way for man to be saved after he had chosen to sin against God. The death of Christ is so horrible. The cost of God losing his son to a horrible death is so repulsive that if he didn't have to do it that way, why would he do that? It says something horrible about his nature, you see. And what was there, another way and he didn't know it? Then he's not God, you see. God knowing all things, God knowing and having all power, would only choose this horrible means for him to suffer in our place if that was the only possible way. Why did God make Christ the only way? Our gentle answer is that God, who knows everything, found only one way possible to bring men to himself as sons of God. Jesus had to pay for man's sin. You see, in the beginning, God created man and asked for a loving response. I'm asking you to become a part of my holy family. This is why they would be called sons of God, as Christ is called sons of God, to be part of that family. We don't get to be God, but we get to be like him in the family. Deuteronomy 6:5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. He says, this is the ultimate commandment. What does God want? Well, he wants me to quit smoking. Well, yeah, because it's horrible for you. He wants me to stop getting drunk. Well, yeah, you're tearing your body up. But what does he want me to do? He wants you to love him with everything you have, body, soul, and spirit. Deuteronomy 11, three verses, 1, 13, and 22. 1, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Why do we do it? Out of love. Out of love. Verse 13, it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. What do you do with somebody that you love dearly? You try to meet their needs, you see. You try to comfort them. So he says, that's it. Verse 22, for if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. You see, the whole concept, the whole deal is bound into this thing of loving God. That's what it's all about. And so, what is love? Well, love is a choice. See, I can't hypnotize you and make you love me. It doesn't work. I can't threaten you to love me. I mean, it doesn't work. See, it has to be your choice. And so God said, if I'm asking them to love me, I can't make them love me, and it wouldn't be love. They'd be a plant that says, I love you, you know, and it's nothing. That would be an awkward plant, wouldn't it? But he says, no, these are people created in my image. They're like me, and so they have the choice. But I want them to choose to love me. Love has to be a choice. So since love is a choice, God gave Adam and Eve the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as an object of choice. He said, don't eat of it, because the day you eat of it, you'll die. That will be a bad thing. You don't know what death is. You don't see it around you. But you'll bring death to this whole planet. Unfortunately, they chose perceived self-interest over loving submission to God's warning. The devil, in the form of a snake, said, he's not going to kill you for eating a piece of fruit. That sounds stupid. Does that sound like him? You know what the problem is? He knows that if you eat it, you're going to have the knowledge of good and evil like he does. You'll be as smart as God. He doesn't want that competition. So he's holding you back from being everything that you can be. And they said, oh, we get to be bigger and wiser. We get to be our own gods. And they ruined everything. Perceived self-interest. Once they did it, they said, this was no good. Now, all of the human race came from Adam and Eve. We're all in the same family. You look at people that don't look like you, they're all your family. Down through the ages, people living different places began to look differently. The human race came from Adam and Eve, shared in their sinful condition. They were born in that sinful condition. Jesus was sent to become human and therefore to die, be able to die, as the sacrificial lamb for man's sin. Since he was human, he could die. But since he is God, his sacrifice established the new covenant, allowing anyone who receives him to receive redemption from sin and guilt. What happens is that he went to the cross and died, paying the penalty of sin. Now I can look to him and say, I want to accept you as my Savior. And so he takes me into himself, and himself into me. Now God looks at me and he sees Christ. And he says, what about the sins that this guy committed? They're all paid for. He died on the cross, paid for all the sins. It's all done. The work's complete. When I get saved, I become part of Christ. Christ becomes part of me. And what he did is counted for me. So I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within me. See? So Jesus is God's only begotten Son. We can be sons. We can be his children. But we can't be his begotten child. We can't be God, one of the Trinity. So he is one of a kind. That is what the word unique means. Unique doesn't mean interestingly novel. It means one of a kind. You can't be more unique. You're either one of a kind or you're not. And so when he died, being man and God, he alone could make the sacrifice as a substitute for man. As God, he didn't deserve to die. He hadn't sinned. As man, he hadn't sinned. But he took the penalty of man's sin. This is the why Jesus is the only way. He was the only one that could fulfill this. He was the only one that could do it. He was the only way that God, who knows everything, the only way God knew to offer man a second chance. And so Buddha might have been a great guy. I don't know. All these guys are supposed to be so wonderful. They left their wife and family and just wandered around begging money. I'm not sure if that's the way I'd want to start a religion and get everybody doing that. But he was from the area of India where they were Brahmin and believed in the, they were Hindus. And then his particular Hinduism became Buddhism. But Hinduism is basically atheistic. They don't believe that there is a God. They believe that everything, the sum total of every atom in the universe, the all, is the God. When you die, there is no heaven. You just become part of the all. But if you're not ready for that yet, you get recycled, so you get born again. But if you didn't do a good job this time, you get born a little lower. So the cockroach, you're saying, boy, he really messed up. See? He used to be a professor teaching evolution. Whatever. It could only be Jesus Christ. Where did we come up with this idea? It's right there in the Bible. So God communicated it to us. We didn't make it up. We read it. We found out that's what he means. So you can try another way, but it's bound to fail because Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, turn our hearts from foolishness to truth. Help us to learn that if there are those who think they're being intelligent by denying your truth, they're living in an illusion and are on their way to hell. I ask that you might help us to talk to them gently, talk to them quietly, give them the benefit of someone who cares enough about them to tell them the truth. and help us to lead them into righteousness' sake. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.